Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion, the show where the truth never stops. We love to dig into the Word of God and proclaim it boldly. You might be sitting there and asking, why do they call that show Old Lion, Young Lion? That, my friend, is a great question. Great question. Here's the reason why. We work for the greatest lion of all time, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the very Lord and Savior of the whole entire earth, Jesus Christ. We work for that lion. Secondly, as the Bible teaches very clearly, that the righteous are bold as lions, and we intend to be bold on this show. Now, my name is Anthony, and my co-host name is Sam Hazleton, and we are both part of the pastoral leadership team of Electric City Baptist Church and Refuge City Bible Church, and we'd love for you to come and visit us at either our church on Sunday morning or our church plant on Sunday night. We're located in Schenectady, New York. Come see us at 2350 Hamburg Street, Schenectady, New York, 12303. Hear the Word of God preached. Hear people sing praises unto the Lamb. It's going to be a great time. Today, before we even get into any of our subject matter, any of our content, which is going to be very exciting, hold on to your seats, folks. But before we do that, we have to shout out our sponsor, and I have it here. Firefighter of the Year, Benjamin Bull. We want to shout out Fireman of the Year, Ben Bull. Thank you so much for donating a large cash donation and supporting the show with your whole heart. Thank you, Ben Bull. All right, so as we start our show in like fashion every week, and we started out with a word of prayer. And so, Old Lion, would you mind just kicking our show off in good tradition by praying to the Lord to bless our show?
Lord, today we are so thankful to be on the air. We're thankful to be discussing the Bible. Father, we're thankful to be uncovering some truth today that most people probably haven't heard. And I ask you today to give us clarity. Father, I pray for our listeners as they hear this information and they assimilate it, Lord, that their hearts would be open, that they would know that you are the God of all history, that you are the God of truth, that the Word of God, the Bible, speaks the truth. It's historically absolutely 100% accurate. And Lord, we do ask that you would bless our listeners today, and especially over this Christmas season, Lord, that they and their families would know the love of Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we don't know what trials or triumphs you're walking in this season, but as we close out this year, we want to pray a special blessing over you that's listening, and that this show is a blessing and something that draws you closer to your Creator. We've been so excited and blessed and honored to be on the radio for these first three seasons, and we're looking forward to what's going to happen in 2026. If you want to be a part of the Lion's Den, we want you to email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We got big things coming. As Old Lion announced last week, we're going to be making the attempt in the next few months to jump to video. And so not only where we're going to be on our six local radio stations, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music podcasts, we're also going to be jumping to a video format. It's going to be exciting times. Okay, Sam, before we get into our Christmas special, our top five Christmas special that we have going on today, why don't you give us a recap of where we've been this whole year, where we've been in the past couple of weeks, and kind of what you see going forward on today's show and into the future?
Well, you are really testing my memory to talk about the whole year, but I am going to tell you what we talked about last week. Last week, okay, we dealt with the fabulous four women in your Bible who just fought their way into the family of God by their faith. And we talked about Tamar and about Rahab and about Ruth and about Bathsheba, all women who are mentioned in the genealogical record of our Lord Jesus Christ that's found in Matthew chapter 1. And so that was a great episode, and I hope the women were encouraged by that, and I hope the men were as well. But today and this week, we're going to completely change gears, and we're going to look at some biblical archaeology. And there has been, just for some background, over the last couple hundred years, and if you've lived on Earth for any amount of time, you've heard these people, these skeptics, these people who come against the historical accuracy of the Bible, and they have been running rampant for a couple hundred years. Here's the problem. You've got people that are armed with a shovel in one hand and a Bible in their other hand. They've gone to the Holy Land. They've actually dug up the sites where the Bible stories happened. And what they've found in general is that everything that the Bible said is found in the dirt, in the rocks, just the way it was written in the Bible. And we're going to get into just a few. There's hundreds of these, and I'm a bit of an aficionado of biblical archaeology. I like to follow it, but we're just going to give you kind of the big rocks today, just some top-level things that have demonstrated the accuracy of the Bible. And the reason we're doing this is because even though you can't go and dig up something for every single verse in the Bible that absolutely independently proves that that happened, but there are many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of things that your Bible says that have been archaeologically demonstrated. The pattern that we see is wherever the Bible can be proven, it has been proven. In fact, there's never been a single archaeological discovery that has overturned something in your Bible. It stands strong in the face of scrutiny. That is the record. So when you have something that is habitually accurate, you know that even in those places where you don't have any verification for the truth, you know that you can trust it. And we want you to walk away from the show today knowing that you can trust the truth of the Bible. It says in Proverbs chapter 30 that every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him.
That is so strong. And obviously, you know, Young Lion, he's a little more zealous, not much of an aficionado about some of these things. So this is going to be a fun chat between Old Lion and Young Lion today. I want you to stay locked in, stay tuned, kind of get your popcorn, get yourself a Coca-Cola or a nice crisp glass of water. Stay healthy out there, my friends. And I want you to listen into some of this stuff. And so the Bible is very clear that our greatest tool about proving that there is a God based on creation is Hebrews 11:3, which teaches us that by faith we recognize that the worlds were formed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But if it is true that what the Bible says about the creation of the world and the formation of his word and the existence of his church, if those things are true, there will be evidences all around. In Romans chapter 1, Paul makes a great argument where he says that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So the whole entire earth testifies of the glory of God. And we were joking about this great Christmas special as we were preparing for it, that even when Jesus is challenged to have his followers shut up and stop talking about him, Jesus makes this great and wonderful claim. And you Christians out there and non-Christians ought to know what Jesus said. He says, if my disciples were to shut up, if they were to be quiet, if they were to hold their peace, Jesus says this, the stones would immediately cry out. And I love this because archaeology is going to be the study of all these stones. These stones are testifying to the glory of God. As we dig up all these great remains, what do they prove time and time and time and time and time again is that the Bible and the Lord will be justified in their sayings, and that all of the evidence produces the proof that the Bible is true and God is true. Let every man be a liar and let God be true. So on this Christmas special, we're going to walk through these. We're going to get a little lesson from Old Lion. We got our top five archaeological finds. And I'm not talking about the ones that we all know about. I'm not talking about Noah's Ark. I'm not talking about the Shroud of Turin. I'm not talking about a lot of these things that you might see. I'm not even talking about Tim Tebow's touchdown throw in the championship game, which obviously proves that God exists. We're going to be talking about our top five archaeological finds that prove the truth of the Word of God. So Old Lion, give us number one. You kind of know, you know, you studied this, you've looked into this, you've been around since the 1900s. Why don't you show us what is your number one, as we go through the five, what's your number one archaeological find and give us some background to it?
Well, first of all, let me just qualify. I'm going to give you these in chronological order, necessarily in order of significance.
Or value, okay.
But they all are significant.
Okay.
We're going to start way back in about 1500 BC or thereabouts.
Okay.
During the time when the nation of Israel was held in bondage in the land of Egypt.
All right.
This is before Moses led them out. And so they're slaves in Egypt. And we know the story. If you've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, Moses is called by God to come and set his people free. He confronts Pharaoh to his face and says, let my people go.
Right.
As a result, God said, hey, look, he's not going to listen to you. And so we see that story unfolding, and there were 10 plagues that God brought upon the nation of Egypt. He literally ruined it and destroyed Egypt. And even though Pharaoh kept hardening his heart and not letting the people go, eventually, when God, on the final plague, he actually killed the firstborn sons of everyone in Egypt. And at that point, they said, get out of here. And they said, take money, take gold, just go. And this is what happened. But so-called scientists over the years said, well, how do we know that that even happened? This could have just been a story, a fable that the Jews made up to support their religion. And this is the conventional wisdom that's been brought out. And you see it on the Discovery Channel and the History Channel and every place else. But now there has been independent, extra-biblical confirmation of the plagues of Egypt. There's a discovery called the Ipuwer Papyrus.
Okay.
And this has a testimony of somebody in Egypt that's writing, as it's written like a newspaper article, and it basically says Egypt is ruined.
What's the name of this again? Tell us this artifact. We want the folks to be able to look this up.
This is the Ipuwer Papyrus.
Okay.
Ipuwer Papyrus.
Okay. So tell us what's on this.
And so it just goes through, and as it reads, and I don't have it in front of me right now, so I can't quote it to you, but it basically lists plague for plague. It just about matches. It's just about a one-for-one match with the plagues that you read about in the book of Exodus in your Bible. And so this is independent, verifiable confirmation of the events that the Bible records from the book of Exodus.
And this is such a large event that happens to one of the major cities in the ancient world. And so obviously there would be much evidence that's left over from these things that are happening in Egypt. So even though you might have seen Prince of Egypt or you might have seen Ten Commandments, there's in the world, there's actual archaeological evidence that's penned down, but also is there in the leftover of the destruction. And so that we first have this papyri, but what else is there? From what I understand, maybe you can give me some more detail on this, Old Lion. From what I understand, after the children of Israel escape from the land of Egypt, as they're being chased by the soldiers of Egypt through the dry land that Moses split open, and then the water crashes, as we know the story goes, crashes onto the Egyptian soldiers. People have maybe declared that they found shields or wheels or even Egyptian swords at the bottom of this Red Sea. What do you know about that? Is that verifiable? What some of the things on those archaeological finds?
So it's very interesting, and this is kind of recently. A lot of these things have been sort of uncovered and discovered in the last 20, 30, 40 years. And what they've found is the traditional understanding of where the Israelites crossed the Red Sea into this Sinai Peninsula has been challenged by some discoveries. And so what they've found is they believe they've found in this Gulf of Aqaba, I believe it is called. Okay. It's also called the Red Sea. There's kind of two prongs of it. They crossed in this other place on the eastern side of the Sinai Peninsula, from the Sinai Peninsula over into Arabia. And this is where Mount Sinai is, and we find this in the New Testament, where Paul the Apostle says in Galatians that Mount Sinai is in Arabia. And Paul actually went there himself to this mountain of God, the same mountain that Moses scaled. But they found this spot where they believe that they crossed. It's a very unique spot on this arm of the Red Sea, where because of the structure underneath, the sea is not quite as deep as it is in the other places. Huh. And so it's a spot, if the water were to open, that you could actually have walked 2 million people across that.
Nice.
And so they found that, and very close by, which is the next place that the Israelites came to, according to testimony in Exodus, is this Mount Sinai.
Okay.
And so this mountain, it's in Arabia, and on top of it, you see it is completely burnt.
Okay, so we got number one. We got the written testimony about the 10 plagues. We see, obviously, the natural evidence and the location around it. But so we're coming to number two. So number one is the 10 plagues and its evidence around it. Number two, you have Mount Sinai. And what do you mean it's black? What it's burnt? What are you talking about here? Number two, the second archaeological find is Mount Sinai. Okay, tell us about this.
So anyway, and just to back on the Red Sea part that they found,
yeah,
they actually did a deep sea dive in this spot.
Okay.
And so they go down there and they've got video of this.
Yep.
Where they're showing you there's these coral formations that look exactly like chariot wheels. It's uncanny.
They are chariot wheels. And only some mainstream scientists who all live to discredit the Bible believe that the coral formations came from maybe a school of fish that got together and wanted to recreate this wheel. Not true. The famous archaeologist that's put out many documentaries on this, his name is Ron Wyatt, and I watched this when I was a kid. He discovered this, and all the people discredit it as a natural phenomenon, which similarly discredit all of the creation of God's creation to this natural phenomenon. Yeah. Nobody of these unsaved antichrist archaeologists want to give credit to the Bible because they want to continue to serve their science falsely so-called. But this is clear evidence of not only a landmass that was open to people walking across the Red Sea, but also the chariots of those that chased them across got drowned by the wrath of God that came upon them. Okay, so tell us about Mount Sinai.
So Mount Sinai, in your Bible, in Exodus, it says that the whole mountain, when Moses was up there receiving the Ten Commandments of God, the Lord had come down to Mount Sinai and the whole top of the mountain was burning.
Right.
If you go there today, and many people have, and I've seen video presentations, you can look it up on YouTube and find this, people go there, and the tops of this mountain are just strangely black.
Lightning bolt struck black.
Yeah, like it was burned. Right. And you turn those rocks over, and they're nice and light colored underneath.
Side. That's right.
So this is clear evidence that this indeed was Mount Sinai. This is where the Lord did indeed come down. There's other pieces of evidence over in that same area. Number one, you see this giant rock.
Yep.
And it declares in the Bible that Moses struck the rock with his staff,
right,
and water gushed out to give the people water in this desert environment.
Yep.
Well, you see this huge rock that has been split in two. So you actually have that same rock that was gushing water is actually, you can go and visit that rock to this very day.
Yeah, you also find, this is all around this Mount Sinai event that happens in your Bible that now is absolutely verified by some of this evidence, that they have the story scraped into some of the rocks surrounding the children of Israel rebelling with this golden calf. But right. I love this story of Mount Sinai, but keep going through the testimony of time of Scripture. We leave Egypt, we come to Mount Sinai, then let's come to this, the archaeological find. This, and this is a big one to me because the evidence directly matches the story in Scripture, but the city of Jericho, or even some of you wrestling fans have heard this, the walls of Jericho. So tell us a little bit about what the archaeological evidence is. You're number three. Number one, 10 plagues. Number two, Mount Sinai. Number three, the city of Jericho.
Okay, so the next thing that happens after Israel is wandering in the desert wilderness for 40 years,
yep,
and God has miraculously kept them alive. Now, Moses has died. And the children of Israel are on the precipice of going into the promised land and conquering it militarily as God had ordained for them to
right.
do. And Jericho is the gateway into the promised land.
Mm.
So there they are. God sends them to Jericho and he says, I want you to march around it 7 consecutive days. And on yep. the 7th day, I want you to march around it 7 times. And then I'm going to have you, I don't want you to make a sound. At the end, after marching around 7 times, you're going to blow your trumpets and shout, and the walls are going to fall flat.
Right.
Now, this sounds like a mythical story if anybody's ever heard one. And so, of course, people of learning, people who are erudite, people who are scholars would laugh at such a story. So, except they went and they dug up the site of Jericho.
They found Jericho.
They found Jericho. They dug it up. Exactly where it says it should be in the Bible. They dig it up, and all of a sudden, they find a city whose walls had fallen flat outward.
That's right. That's right.
Which is not the way it works, but all the walls all around the city had fallen flat, with one exception. We talked about this last week with Rahab, and Rahab was told to, her house was built into the wall of the city. She was told to hang her scarlet thread out that window, and that she would be protected and she would be safe. So they find all the walls around the city of Jericho fallen flat, except in this one section. So this is obviously where Rahab had her house that did not fall down. Her family was not destroyed with the rest of the city. So we have here exactly what the Bible said happened. They dig it up, and lo and behold, this is what happened.
Yeah, and you might find some evidence towards, a battle happened, and someone might say, okay, fine. They wrote down some stuff through men's ideas about what the Bible says. That's not the case. It wasn't burned walls. It wasn't walls that got hit with bows and arrows or got thrown rocks at them. These are walls that were toppled over by God. No other way to explain it, and the evidence is clear. Specifically, this strong tower that was left open, which I love, not only is it an evidentiary truth of the Scripture, but it also points to the beautiful nature that God can be our strong tower, and it's a testament that stands through all of time to prove that you can only be standing strong in the wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is this an evidence in archaeology that points to the Bible, but it's a testament to the very gospel of Jesus Christ that we preach today. So we got Amen. 10 plagues, Mount Sinai, Jericho. Number 4 in our top 5 Christmas special Bible archaeological finds, the stones will cry out. Give us number 4. And this one's very, very interesting.
Okay, so now chronologically, we're moving. We've gone from Egypt. We've gone into Sinai. We've conquered the city of Jericho. Now what happens next with Joshua at the helm, the nation of Israel is now conquering all the individual kingdoms, all the individual city-states in the land of Canaan.
As God's commanded them to do.
He told them to do it.
Yep.
And so one by one, they're going and conquering these kings. In fact, there's a list in your Bible that shows the names of 31 kings that they conquered during this conquest period. So is there any independent archaeological evidence that confirms this happened.
Well, we're all waiting on the edge of our seat, old lion. You've been studying this for years. Reveal to the people the truth. Give the people what they want.
Okay, here it comes. It's called the Amarna letters, A-M-A-R-N-A, if you want to look it up. Okay. The Amarna letters, and these were found in Egypt. One of the pharaohs had moved his palace to a certain spot. It's called Tel El Amarna is the place where they dug this up, but they found this guy's library. And in his library, which is positively dated to the same time as this conquest was taking place, about 1400 BC. This is about the time when this conquest is taking place. And in this library, you found all these letters which were written from the kings of the land of Canaan, these same ones that were now being conquered by Joshua. These guys are writing to Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Right.
And they're saying, help. Please help us. The Habiru people are destroying us.
And Habiru? Tell us about this. It calls their name in these letters the Habiru?
Habiru. Okay. H-A-B-I-R-U.
Okay.
Now, anybody who knows the Israelites, they were called the Hebrews.
Right.
Okay. So just on the face of it, it sounds an awful lot like Hebrews.
That's right. Yeah.
But they're called the Habiru. And so the kings of these cities are writing for help. Send us help. And they give us some of the details about what is happening.
Right.
In cities like Shechem, which the nation of Israel took without a battle. Cities like Lachish, cities like Jerusalem, cities like Gezer and Hazor. Specific things we know that the Bible tells us, for example, that Hazor was burned.
Right.
Now you go archaeologically, you go dig up Hazor, it's a burn site. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing these all these details about the conquest are being independently, archaeologically verified and confirmed by this list of Amarna letters.
Even though people kind of maybe debate this fact, it is so closely knitted to the biblical text that a group of people escaping Egypt are coming to conquer a land, and all the little smaller kings and countries in this land of Canaan riding to the big dog over in Egypt to come and help fits exactly what was happening, what was told to Joshua, what was told to Caleb, what was told to the children of Israel. And then the Hebiru, this to me is the biggest connection, that these nation states that had no idea who the Hebrews were heard their name through all the different rumors that were going on about them, and then write to Egypt and say, please come and help us as their cities are being conquered by Joshua and his crew. Go look up these letters. What's the name of them again, old lion?
The Amarna letters, A-M-A-R-N-A.
Go look this up. Letters. It's a phenomenal proof, another evidence pointing to the structural integrity of the word of God. Mm. Okay, number five. Now, this we may have a bonus. I don't know if we're going to get a bonus or not on the top
five
here.
We'll see if time allows.
But on this Christmas special, give us your number five archaeological find. The stones are crying out of this truth. Give us number five.
That's right. Okay. This is kind of a general one.
Okay.
This is not a specific find.
I like this.
But there are well over 50 individual characters in your Bible, specifically, mostly in the Old Testament, of people who are specifically named at a specific time in a specific place that have been independently, archaeologically confirmed in that time or in that place.
Okay.
I'll give you a few examples.
Sure.
We've got King David.
Of course, King David.
So in Tel Dan, there was a stela or a stone.
Okay.
Yep. Wrote in stone back in those days.
Okay.
That was how they did it. We'd use paper, they used stone. And it mentions King Ahaziah, son of David, in this stone. So David was a real person. We also got the Merneptah stela. And this was found, and it mentions the nation of Israel. And the interesting thing about this Merneptah stela is that it positively dates the Exodus. There's unbelieving scholars have often moved the date of the Exodus into the 12th century BC rather than when it actually happened in about 1440 BC or 1450 BC. And they've said, oh, the Bible's chronology, it can't be accurate because it really happened here. Well, this Merneptah stela showed that Israel was already a functioning nation early on in the 13th century. So the Exodus must have occurred well before this.
Right.
Another one here is the Black Obelisk of Shalmaneser.
Mm.
And this mentions by name a king by the name of Jehu, who was a king of the northern kingdom of Israel during this time of the monarchy, during the time when Solomon's temple was still standing in about maybe 850 BC or so. And it not only shows who this king is, but it actually has a picture of him bowing down to this Assyrian king to whom he gave some tribute.
Mm.
And so it's pretty amazing because you actually get a picture
Love that.
Of this guy who the Bible tells you about. He's found in the exact time we should be found, doing the exact things that the Bible says he would have been doing.
Love that. Okay, give us maybe one or two more of these 50 people. I think this is so cool to see how all of this archaeological finds testify of not only the timeline, but now also the content.
Okay, there's another one. It's called the Moabite stone that they found, which mentions the tribe, the Israelite tribe of Gad.
Mm.
And so you read in your Bible how Israel was divided into these tribes, and each of these tribes had a specific geographical inheritance. And the Moabite stone gives credence to that saying by mentioning the tribe of Gad. Gad was actually settled on the east side of the Jordan River, which was right next to Moab. And this tribe of Gad is mentioned in this Moabite stone.
Yeah, give us the last one. This is very intriguing.
Sennacherib's prism.
Oh, yes. Okay. I've heard of this one.
If you've heard of Sennacherib, we actually talked about him in one of our Antichrist series. He was a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. But Sennacherib was attacking all the cities of Israel. This is during the reign of Hezekiah. And so there's what we call Sennacherib's prism that was found, which gives some very specific details that are directly confirmed in your Bible.
Directly, yep.
So it says that King Hezekiah gave tribute to Sennacherib in the amount of 30 talents of gold. Mm. A talent is about 75 pounds. That's a lot of gold.
Yeah.
And so it records this in your Bible in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 14, that he gave him 30 talents of gold, and it's chiseled into the stone in Sennacherib's prism, saying that Hezekiah, king of Judah, gave them 30 talents of gold. It also, interestingly, talks about the conquest where Sennacherib came and conquered all the cities of Israel, except for the city of Jerusalem. In the Bible, it says that he had it right up to the choke point. Here was Hezekiah in Jerusalem. Sennacherib and the kingdom of Assyria were conquering all the cities around about it, but it never mentions in Sennacherib's prism that they ever conquered the city of Jerusalem.
Mm.
We learn in the Bible why that is, because in one night, the angel of the Lord went out and slew 185,000 of these Assyrian soldiers who were laying siege to Jerusalem. And so in answer to Isaiah and Hezekiah's prayer.
So these are our top five archaeological finds. And I think we might have time for a bonus.
Let's see.
But here's what this is very important, because what we're giving you is the hard-lined evidence that cannot be denied. Obviously, we know that there's evidence about Sodom and Gomorrah. There's evidence about Ur, where Abraham was from. There's all kinds of ancient Israel evidence that we see, Jesus's tomb, all the things that Josephus talks about, as well as the many catchphrases that come from your word of God that catch on in the public. I think, do we have time for one more?
I don't think we have time. I'm just going to throw it out there, though,
okay,
and you can kind of think about it over the next week.
Give it to us.
So the bonus material here, and one of the biggest archaeological finds of all time that everyone acknowledges, is the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, of course.
So I'm going to spoil this for you, but just give you the main thing that came out of those Dead Sea Scrolls, although many things did come out of them. The main thing is most of the scholars up till the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, up till 1947, were saying that the Bible we couldn't really rely on it. The oldest manuscript of the Old Testament that we had was only 1,000 years old, even though it was supposedly written 3,500 years ago. So they said, it's been changed. We don't know if this is correct, blah, 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 blah. However, when they find these Dead Sea Scrolls, which date positively to about 200 BC, they had a full scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which is one of the longer books in your Bible, and they compared it to the Masoretic text, which is what we use to translate our modern Bibles, and it was line by line, word for word, same, 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 same. Nothing had been changed.
Love that.
And so this is a powerful find showing that the Bible has been preserved intact for thousands of years, and what you have in your hand or on your shelf at home is reliable.
Get in that thing. That book is hot. It's beautiful. It's preserved for us to be able to study. And obviously, everything in the world testifies to its validity. Now, we're not a show that gets into sports or touches on politics or hits on the fashion world. Our show is dedicated to digging into the scripture and proclaiming things boldly. We hope you enjoyed today's Christmas special top five archaeological finds. We hope that you'll go dig it out into your own and come join us on a Sunday. Have a Merry Christmas and God bless.
And we'll see you in church.